Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2020, and it's been a wonderful vacation week. Summer is in the air, temperatures are high, barbecues. It's been a great week so far, coming to an end, but I'm enjoying what's left of it. Today on the broadcast, I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 1, a very encouraging chapter for us Christians who are enduring difficult times. Now, the book of Revelation is one of those books that is very controversial. And it has all kinds of meanings to all kinds of people. There are four different historical viewpoints. But my purpose this morning is not to talk about the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, or so much the end times. But it is that first chapter where we see the Apostle John, who is on the island of Patmos because of his Christian faith. The Roman Empire is bearing hard down upon the Christians. Christians are becoming martyrs for Christ because of their beliefs as Christians. They refuse to bow down to the Caesars, and so the Caesars, especially Domitian here, is putting Christians to death because of their allegiance to Jesus, Lord of the universe. In this chapter, we're going to look just briefly at the prologue, the greeting to the seven churches, and most importantly, the vision of the Son of Man. Because I believe when you hear me read and talk about this first chapter, you will understand that as the church today, in all of our suffering all over the world, because we're Christians, if we can grasp a vision, a fresh vision of who Jesus is, in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, it will give us great encouragement and endurance in the fight. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to learn what it means to see the exalted Christ and understand that he is the sovereign Lord over all of the churches, and that our endurance is based on our trust and faith in him as the sovereign Lord of the universe. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and Sardis and to Philadelphia and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head are white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. What a marvelous opening first chapter, what we would call an introduction to the book of Revelation. John is that secretary. He is writing down this incredible vision, which I believe is a vision of the end times, of the future. John is in his 90s. He is the surviving last apostle on the island of Patmos for his Christian faith. He is under great persecution, and this revelation is given to him as one of his last great tasks. Now, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the book of Revelation is about the return and the triumph of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. This revelation, this word in the Greek means apokalypsos, which means an unveiling. God is revealing and unveiling this book to John, who is writing to the seven churches. And in our era, almost 2,000 years later, we have the great privilege of reading what Jesus is saying to our churches in our day. Now, I want us to go to verse 3. It says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Notice the word blessed, happy, is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. God puts a blessing on the one who reads and listens and heeds what is written in it, which tells me that no matter what you have heard about the book of Revelation, how confusing and difficult it is to understand, recognize that God wants you It's his will for you and me to understand this book, because he gives a blessing to the one who hears, the one who reads, and the one who does what the book says. So there in verse 3, we have a special blessing if we read the book, if we hear it being taught, and we obey what's in it. God doesn't want you and I to be confused. He wants us to understand and heed the words of this great book. Now, John goes on with a great benediction, grace to you and peace for him who is and who was and who is to come. It says, the seven spirits who are before the throne, that number seven is throughout the book of Revelation. It helps us understand something very special. The number seven means completion. To come to completion, and that's very important. Well, the seven spirits are understood to be the Holy Spirit. And so we have God the Father, the God who is and who was and who is to come, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. We have the triune benediction from the triune God in the opening verses of this great book. Now, it says in verse number 5, to him who loves us and who has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. It talks about us as believers, that we too are a priest, kingdom of God. The great high priest, Jesus Christ, has freed us from our sins by his precious blood in his priestly role, in his accomplishment and death, burial, and resurrection. We have been made priests to God. And then verse 7, this is very critical. John wants his readers to understand, to remember the words of Christ, that he is coming again to be the judge of the living and dead, and to rule and reign on this earth, as Revelation 20 says, for 1,000 years. And so John says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So this is the second coming of Christ. It's a quotation from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And what it is saying is that every eye, we will witness, those who are alive at the time of the return of Christ will see Christ in all of his glory, and even those who pierced him, a reference to Israel, that all Israel will be saved, Romans chapter 11, with Christ comes again, they will embrace their Messiah. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is very important too. It's a reference to the sovereignty of our great God over our situation and over the situation of the first century Christians who were going through such persecution. It's a reminder that it is God who started it all, and God who will finish it all, and that God is in control of everything that happens to us. He is the sovereign Lord. Verse 9 mentions John, who says he's a brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and patient endurance that are in Jesus. It mentions that he was on the Isle of Patmos because of his Christian faith, because of the Word and God and the testimony. John says, I was in the Spirit. I was filled with the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he begins to talk about this incredible vision of Christ. You know, in the first coming of Christ, Christ came as the Lamb of God. He was sent to be the sin bearer. He came as a humble bond servant. He obeyed perfectly the law of God. He took upon himself all of our sin and guilt as the perfect Lamb of God. He came in humility in his first coming. But in this vision that John is about to give to us, it is Jesus in his exaltation, in his resurrected glory and exaltation. You see the glorified Christ, who once was the suffering Lamb of God, but is now glorified. And John is about to share this vision with the seven churches. He says, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. Well, the title, the Son of Man, is a reference to the Son of Man in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. It speaks of the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days, that is God the Father, and God the Father bestows on him an unshakable, everlasting kingdom. So this title, the Son of Man, while it can refer to his humanity, it's referring to Christ. Deity. Jesus is there in the midst of these lampstands. These lampstands represent the church. Jesus is in the midst of the church. It's a reminder that Jesus is sovereign Lord over all of the churches. John is recording this vision and seeing Jesus as in control of all of the things that happens to the churches, which reminds us in this present day that Christ is always present in his church, is always reigning in the midst of his churches. He is in sovereign control. It says that he was clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. This is showing the great high priestly work of Jesus Christ as our sin bearer. It's also showing Jesus as a person of great dignity and authority. Long garments were only worn by those that were high priests. It speaks of his high status and his authority. And the golden band around his chest hints at the garment of the high priest. One of the duties of the Old Testament priest was to tend the golden lampstand in the tabernacle. We see Jesus as Lord of the churches, as our great high priest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Well, that speaks of the eternity of Christ. It speaks of his great wisdom and timelessness. The phrase white as snow also emphasizes Christ's purity. The white hair and head are connected with Jesus in that vision in Daniel chapter 7 with the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days, of course, is a term that belongs to God the Father, yet it also speaks in so many ways of the divine nature of Christ. So we see this hair, white as wool, speaking of his great wisdom, of his timelessness, of his antiquity. His eyes were like a flame of fire, John says in this vision. Well, eyes speak of judgment. Jesus' eyes displayed the fire of searching, of penetrating judgment. He sees all that is going on. He knows all. He is omniscient and omnipresent. His feet were like fine brass. Well, since fire is connected with judgment, these feet like fine brass, and as refined in the furnace, speak of someone who has been through the fires of judgment and comes forth in purity. Jesus has been through the very gates of hell, that he endured suffering. He endured the wrath of God upon him for our sins. He has been through the judgment, and now he is the glorified Christ with great purity. And so Jesus has been through the refinest fire. We see that in the vision. His voice as the sound of many waters. This means that Jesus' voice has power and majesty like an incredible waterfall. He has in his right hand the seven stars. Again, that reminds us of his care, his sovereign care over all of the churches. John says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Well, this talks of the great power of the Word of God. The heavy sword. It uses that term to say that when Jesus speaks, he speaks God's word with great authority, as if a sharp sword was proceeding out of his mouth. And we know how the sharp sword, the word of God, can cut to the quick, can cut through everything and be a judge to us. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Again, the glory of Jesus is so great, so shining, that it's hard for John to look upon him. And so he falls down at his feet as if dead. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, John. Don't be afraid." John falls down at his feet in worship. He says, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." The term first and last is a term only resigned for God, Yahweh. But yet Jesus, who is God, says, "I am the first and the last, John. Don't worry. I have the keys of death and Hades." Of course he does. Christ, the resurrected Lord, who rose again from the death, he controls it all. He has the keys, the sovereign power over death, those keys in his hand. And so we see in this great vision something so important to remind us and to remind John and his listeners and those that would read this, that in the midst of their great suffering, Jesus is the sovereign Lord in control of it all. It reminds us today as Christians in our tribulation, in our suffering, that God has never left us. He will never leave us or forsake us. If we grasp this vision, if we get a fresh revelation of this great vision that John is recording, and we see the glorified Christ in all of his majesty and all of his glory, then we have nothing to fear. He has conquered. He has triumphed. He is coming again. We should never be afraid, because John says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Behold, he comes with the clouds. Christ is coming again. He is the conquering Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And as we see this vision of Jesus here in Revelation 1, we are encouraged. We are strengthened in our faith that no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from the love of God, that he is coming again to be the just judge. And that reminds me of this song from DeGarmo and Key, "Alleluia, Christ is Coming." Let's listen.
Like a thief in the night, just like lightning in the sky, when Jesus comes to take his church away, yeah, with a wave of his hand, we'll be in the promised land, and the people.
is a great worship music of DeGarmo and Key, Hallelujah, Christ is Coming. And that's what we've been reading about this morning from Revelation chapter 1. We are reminded, as John records this incredible vision, that Christ is in the midst of his churches, that he is holding on to us by his sovereign power, that he is in control. And so we need not be afraid. What happens to us? We are reminded that the early church, those that came before us, the early Christians, were suffering under the Roman Emperor Domitian at a time when persecution was very strong. They were being persecuted by the Roman Empire and by those Jewish leaders that hated the Messiah Jesus. This first chapter reminds us, when we look at the exalted, resurrected Christ in this vision, we are encouraged that though we go through great struggles and great temptations and great suffering, that Jesus is in control. He is holding us in the palm of his hand. Those seven stars, those seven churches that John was writing to, it's very representative of today. Jesus holds us in the palm of his hand. He holds the churches in his hands. And later on, he's going to commend the churches for their good and rebuke them for their bad. But the point is, Christ is the sovereign Lord of the churches. And as we gaze upon this vision in worship, we are reminded that Jesus has triumphed over death, hell, and Satan, and that we have nothing to fear. The book of Revelation is not so much about the Antichrist or the end times as it is about the return of Christ and his triumph. It's a reminder that we endure with great patience because the Lamb of God has triumphed, and that no matter what we go through, that we will have eternity to praise our Lord, who brings us through every tribulation because he is sovereign and because he is in control. But if you don't have that hope this morning, you do not have that certainty that all your sins are forgiven and that you're in a right relationship to God, well, then Revelation chapter 1 is not an encouragement for you, because the book of Revelation says when Christ returns, all of his enemies will stand before him. And because they have not came to faith in him, the Bible says that God will open up all the books, the great white throne judgment, and will reveal that they will spend an eternity apart from God in the lake of fire because they've never come to faith in Christ. This is the time right now to come to Jesus at a time like this, when all around us is death and violence and destruction. The time now is to come to Christ, because Christ can come into your heart. He can wash away all of your sin and guilt and give you eternal life. You can have an eternity to know him. And to know him is to love him, to know he has a great love and forgiveness for each of us. So I urge you, if you've never come to Christ and you've listened to this program this morning, please come to him and bow down to him and ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. I want to wish everyone a great rest of the week, a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert. God bless you.